Breakfast with Hoff. It's the big yawn. Well, I
won't back down. Might do it.
No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
No, I won't do it, Tom. Great to have your company with us on a Tuesday morning as well. But today we're talking about the MRO and sling tackles, dangerous tackle conversation, which seemingly the clubs have had a gut full of. Not one person this year that has gone up on the MRO or taken the challenge to the tribunal on the back of an MRO finding has had that outcome successful for a dangerous slash sling tackle. But clubs have had enough. The former Socceroos back involved in this conversation. Clubs have had enough. Scotty Gullen's got a good piece today, our man Scotland, in the Herald Sun, saying, starting with this: clubs are rising up against the match review officer's crackdown on sling tackles with three appeals lodged from the weekend's rounds. There is growing angst around Michael Christian's willingness to hand out one-week suspensions with four players nabbed this round, the latest being Adelaide star Rory Laird, of course, in that win on Sunday against the Brisbane Lions. Now, he was charged and given a week for a dangerous tackle on Lachie Neale, who seems to find himself in their situations a lot. But when you're around the ball a fair bit, that's probably unsurprising. It seemingly, former Socceroo, is something that the clubs are trying to get to the bottom of and trying to make a statement on, because everyone that goes up these days for a dangerous tackle ends up going to the tribunal, or very rarely do they not end up going to the tribunal, because even they are still seeking clarity about what the actual rule and the adjudication is and whether or not players that are tackling are always at fault in this situation.
You're right. I mean, it just seems to become, it's a real murky area, and it has been all year. But I can imagine the club's frustration, because as fans, losing players to what we sometimes think are good tackles,
yep,
it just, you're losing the best players. Like, you just read off three names: Chera at Carlton, Parker at Sydney, Amira at Fremantle.
All now throw in Laird.
Quality players who have, and throw in Rory Laird, quality players who have laid what used to be determined as good tackles.
Yes.
And it's happening week in, week out. Like, it's not just this week. We've lost, I think it was over 30 players due to suspension this year for sling tackles.
Yeah. Well, it's a problem because, and a bit like what we were talking about last week with, who did the bump on Connor Rozee? Lachie Hunter, well, 2 weeks ago. Lachie Hunter's bump on Rozee, that the players with the ball contribute to the contact and the way that the tackles are finished because of their movement patterns as well. So you're actually asking, in a lot of instances, you're actually asking the player who's tackling to forecast what the player with the ball is going to do. And I'm not sure that's possible, and B, fair on the player tackling. Get some take on this. 1-300-652-927 with how you see this sitting in the current game at the moment. I know there's a lot of angst, as the former Socceroo is telling us, in this regard, from a lot of fans out there. 1-300-652-927. I'm just not sure you can ask the players who are tackling to predict the movements of the player being tackled. Because like, often players who have got the ball and are being tackled will spin to try and find a release point, an outlet on the way around, so to speak. Like, you know that you can cop the tackle, do a spin, and someone will be there at some stage before you are taken to ground, more often than not. So, or it's the player with the tackles jumping forward or jumping back or jumps in the air and changes the dynamic of the whole tackle. You're asking a lot. We are asking a lot of players who are tackling these days. Now, the game will say that we will do whatever we have to do to protect the players with the ball and the ones that become vulnerable in positions of being tackled, and that there is a duty of care and onus on the player tackling to get that right regardless of those situations. And to a degree, I agree with that. But I just think there's so many grey areas now with and techniques from players with the ball to draw these free kicks slash reports in the end, that it's turning a lot of people off the game, but also making it almost impossible to defend when you don't have the ball, which is not what we want. It's a game of physicality, not recklessness, not cavalier behaviour, not dangerous behaviour, but it's a game of physicality. And the techniques that the players involve themselves in now these days are putting the whole thing in jeopardy.
Mm. I mean, I sort of look at it from a fan's point of view, obviously, but Chris Scott was really interesting last night when he spoke about it on Fox Footy's 360 program.
The AFL, by their own admission, are trying to work their way through this, and I think they understand that they're going to iterate around these incidents and get it to a point where there is more clarity. Where I think it is right at the moment from a coaching perspective, so the instruction to players, it just has to be, if you take a player to ground in a tackle, you need to be careful. So the comparison would be with the bump. When we changed from Michael Voss bumping Alan Richardson all those years ago, saying that's just the perfect execution of a bump, to, no, you can't do that anymore. And I think the coaching point was, if you choose to bump and you get them in the head, you're liable. So now if you tackle a player to ground, you're liable. Because the instruction from the tribunal, to be frank, is very confusing. They're trying to say, if you tackle a player in a split second and you realise that you have an arm pinned, you've got to let it go before he hits the ground, irrespective of whose momentum's taking the player forward.
That's a fair summary from Chris Scott last night on 360. I'm just watching that Rory Laird one again. I'm not surprised they've challenged that. That's because what the one of the triggers is for a dangerous secondary motion with the forceful contact into the ground. I don't think there's any of that at any stage in that Rory Laird tackle, I must admit. So I don't know what they're going to, how they're going to pin him on that, but we'll see. But no, it's seemingly the game is not happy with the way this is all unfolding at the moment.
And the game seems, again, from a spectator's point of view, to be as quick as it's ever been. So we're asking a lot of the players to make a split-second decision on when they have got the tackle. Do they just keep them on their feet, or do they take them to ground? So it's, I can't imagine what it's like to be in that situation.
It's going to get to the point where you can't tackle the ground.
You really think?
Well,
that?
I think it's going to have to. Well, you're talking here, Chris Scott, say there that the messaging and the coaching to the players is, once you find yourself in a tackling position, just be careful. Like, good luck. Like, you're working in milliseconds is what you're doing in terms of the time you get to grab someone and then try and do something with them. Like, it's, you got no time to think whatsoever, let alone be careful. And then the players largely are, they are careful. And the bump conversation is a relevant one here, that there is the very clear delineation that if you choose to bump, hit a player on the head, you're out. This is what the James Sicily thing we saw from the other day. So no dramas there. That's okay. No dramas. But tackling is a different conversation, I reckon, in the fact that there are so many layers to a tackle, and who's in charge of the momentum, who's in charge of the force, where's the ball, they've got the arms pinned. There's all these different layers to a tackle. It might get to the point where if you're not on the ground already starting, you can't take them to ground, because that's seemingly where all these players are having trouble. Or you shouldn't take them to ground. Maybe not you can't, but you shouldn't take them to ground. SMS traffic coming through. Once the tackler lays the tackle, it becomes unpredictable. And that next one, why has there never been a dangerous tackle in 150 years and all of a sudden there's three in a week? More onus needs to be put on the person being tackled to protect themselves. I largely agree with that, I must admit. The tackle players all go limp. There's another one. I'm not sure players who are being tackled are letting their heads hit the ground. There's another one in defence of the players with the ball. The look on Lachie Neal's face, was one of, I've got away with it. That was a clear holding the ball. NRL facing concussion court cases. If not, why not? It's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. You give players a suspension so they don't do the same thing again with a tackle. It's 90% unpredictable. What happens after you grab the player? It's not going to change the way people play if it means getting the ball for your team. Well, I think it might. I think it might if it gets to the point where this is happening week in, week out, and you're losing two or three players a week through this sort of stuff.
Now, you coach junior footy. I watch my boys play junior footy.
Yes.
At what point does this filter down to local leagues, you know, metropolitan, country, senior reserve, under-18s, under-15s, under-13s? When, because you're seeing
any,
it more...
Any other teams you want to mention?
under-12s.
As many teams you can.
But when does it start to kick in to junior footy? It's happening.
Which part?
A lot. There's dangerous tackles. Like, you can get a free kick for a dangerous tackle.
Yeah. Do you want to see suspensions in junior
no,
in local footy?
That's the
junior
question.
Footy?
Are we going to see kids as young as 12 being rubbed out for dangerous tackles? Is it going to get to that?
Well, hopefully not. I mean, our job as junior coaches is to make sure, and it's different because the physicality is not there. The strength and the physicality is not there in those levels. It's much more unusual and different to see a situation like this occur in junior footy. I've watched a lot of junior footy, coached a lot of junior footy. Very rarely do you see this sort of stuff because they don't have the strength more often than not.
Some kids are stronger, stronger than others.
Well, that is true, but some are weaker than others too.
That's the other way of looking at it.
But absolutely filtered down because and dangerous tackles are absolutely frowned upon by umpires during games and rightly so. I don't see many suspensions for it unless it's like really bad. And again, I haven't seen too many of those in my time as a junior coach. But that's not to say it doesn't happen. But our job is to have those conversations with the kids and make sure that they're aware of the challenge. They have a bit more time. It's not going at the speed, so they have a bit more time to deal with things as junior players. So we'll see where it ends up, but no doubt it'll filter down. It always does. Craig's in Mount Martha before the break. Hello, Craig.
Good morning, Half. Just listening to this, we sort of lost our way a little bit at AFL level, I think. I mean, if you've got 12 accredited AFL experts, let's say, and you ask them all to write a procedure manual on this, they'd all be different. Agree?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, so my point is, I think we should get back to how we used to do it. I know you say, you know, umpires are, you know, that split second they've got to make the decision. But, you know, if you've got full-time umpires who are given the poison chalice to be able to do this day in, day out, week in, week out, and on a weekend, and you get any of these sling tackles going on or the dangerous tackles going on, you hit them hard. Throughout the game, not after when everyone's trying to gather their thoughts and think, did he, didn't he, and all the replays and the whole lot. Yeah, keep it simple. I don't understand how it's got to this point. Well, I do, because of litigation and so forth.
Yeah.
And your point just on the junior footy stuff, I appreciate what you're saying there, but, gee, I watched a lot of junior footy over the years too, and you get a big ruffian with a small rover, you cringe every time they sling into the ground. They used to bounce off the ground, you know.
Yeah, well, thankfully, I mean, you don't see that as often these days, though, do you?
Well, probably not as much, but when you do, you really feel for the kid. Like, gee, there's a big difference between... And look, you know, mostly at AFL level and the higher level, they're strong and they all do the weights and they can sustain it quite a bit. But, you know, we're getting in areas of, you know, whacking heads on grounds through centrifugal force and all this sort of stuff. How far does it all go, you know?
Well, who knows how far it all goes, Craig, in the end. It's a difficult question to answer. I think it was a rhetorical one. But in terms of the umpire, I'm not sure if this is an umpire's issue. This is, I think they do a relatively good job on the games in terms of this element of the game. Now, there's been some challenges from an umpire perspective for the rest of the contest, as far as I can see. But for this part of the game, I think they largely do a pretty good job. It's more a judicial presence that seemingly has got the clubs up in arms and the way that they adjudicate these things post. So the umpires, I don't think, are doing too bad a job in this regard. They're paying what they see, and if it's a free kick, it's a free kick. If it's not, it's holding the ball or whatever it might be, or it's a ball up. But I think largely this is a judicial process controversy as opposed to an umpiring one is my take on it. Thank you, Craig, for calling, though. Great to have you with us anytime on the open line. 7:20. We'll ask Adam Kingsley about it after this, the coach of the Giants.